We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back as the draft is rapidly coming. I mean, it's about, you know, 2 weeks and a couple days here, Ike. So we're almost here. And I guess with everything going on in the world right now, it's actually nice to be able to look ahead that's not that much far down the road and be like, wow, we're actually going to have something to talk about. We had the NFL free agency, which really, really helped. Now with the draft, hopefully that's going to help us some more. But let's go to him right now as he joins us to discuss what the Eagles should do, in particular from the wide receiver position. He is the senior analyst at Pro Football Focus. His name is Steve Palazzolo, and he joins us right now. Steve, sorry for butchering your name, man. What's up?
All good. I'm much used to it. How we doing?
I bet you are, man. Steve's also a former minor league pitcher, Ike.
Oh, how about that?
So our producer, Jack Fritz, wishes he was a former minor league pitcher. He pitched a little bit in college, so you guys have a lot in common. Steve, just real quick, with the wide receiver position and maybe seven expected to be drafted in the first round, just overall as a group, is this one of the better wide receiving groups that you've seen in a long time?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you have guys that win different ways as well. I mean, every team's looking for speed. You have speed there. You've got guys who can win with route running and quickness. You've got big-bodied guys like T. Higgins from Clemson with, you know, great catch radius. So not only do you have a talented group, but a talented group of guys who win in a whole bunch of different ways. And that's pretty important in today's NFL as well as having that receiving core that's versatile, 3 and 4 deep. So it should be highly coveted by the NFL teams on draft night.
I know every team is different, Steve, but when you're looking at this position, right, and with today's offensive passing games, three wide receiver sets, and really three different types of wide receivers, outside, slot versus red zone, those type of guys. Do you think these guys basically come down to fit? Like, what system do you fit in and how a team sort of envisions using certain players versus just ranking them by talent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if you just look at, say, last year's wide receivers who came out, the Patriots took N'Keal Harry in the first round, and he struggled at a lot of the, you know, basic parts of receiving, which is, you know, create separation. But he's outstanding after the catch and in space and in contested situations. You look at him versus, say, like a Deebo Samuel who went to the 49ers, and they had a great plan for him. They said, look, you can run routes to a point. We're going to get you in space. We're going to give you, you know, some jet sweeps and end arounds. I think usage is crucial. And I just think that the best teams do a really good job of having three or four guys that defensive coordinators have to prepare for. So when you have those skill sets and you're using them properly, it makes life difficult on opposing defenses. So, yeah, fit and usage is absolutely crucial. And I would say the other thing, too, I think today's NFL, there's probably 20 quarterbacks who aren't completely interchangeable, but they're kind of close. They're in this middle tier cluster. And I think if you have an outstanding group of receivers, you can elevate those guys. You can elevate them to MVP caliber seasons if you have the right group. So I really think receivers and playmakers are just at such a premium in today's NFL with how much teams are passing.
All right, Steve, let's start off with the top three guys, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs III. What do you think of those threes and talk about each of them? Which one do you like best?
Yeah, it's really close. I still think it's Jeudy and Lamb that I'm debating between. We go back and forth literally every day here at PFF. I might lean toward Lamb today just because I look at him as probably a better all-around guy that I feel good about lining up on the outside. He can line up in the slot. He could beat press if he needs to. Really good ball skills and a great feel for creating yards after the catch. He doesn't look like a dynamic athlete, but he's plenty fast enough. But he just knows where defenders are, and he maximizes yardage after the catch. And then you have a guy like Jerry Jeudy, who probably does his best work from the slot, can still win on the outside, has deep speed that plays better than whatever the 4.4 that he ran at the combine, really shifty, and probably the best route runner in the class, just really, really shifty in and out of breaks and knows how to set up D defensive back. So I think you could get a high volume slot receiver out of Judy. And then with Ruggs, you know, everybody's chasing a DeSean Jackson, a Will Fuller, maybe even a Tyreek Hill, a guy that legitimately keeps defensive coordinators up at night, legitimately keeps a safety on this guy's side of the field. And that's Ruggs if used properly. So I think he's going to be really coveted just because he has the legitimate 4.2 speed that shows up on the field. And you just don't see many guys like that. And, you know, we've seen what DeSean Jackson has done to open up every single offense that he's been on in his 10-plus years in the league. So I think Ruggs could be the top receiver off the board just because the NFL loves speed. And if used properly, yeah, speed can, really open up an offense.
What's the drop-off between the next tier of guys? So here's what we're talking about today, Steve. We're debating Eagles sitting at 21. Is it worth it to go up and get those three guys? It'll probably cost you your second-round draft pick. Is the difference between the guy that you could take at 21 that much different than the guy you could trade up for and get one of those three guys?
No. So this is where I would encourage you guys and all Eagles fans to have some restraint. And I think when you're in the draft, you have to understand that, like, what I just said about all those receivers, that's kind of like my take on those receivers. But there's some, you know, I could be wrong, right? So there's anybody could be wrong on any of these guys, right? So the guy I remember, the trade a couple years ago was the Bills. They traded up from, like, 13, I think it was, to number 4 to go get Sammy Watkins. And then the next guy off the board at 14 was Mike Evans. So they gave up, like, a future first-round pick to go get Sammy Watkins, and they could have just sat where they were, had Mike Evans, and had a first-rounder the next year. So I just think when you see those situations play out year after year after year where teams trade up, and essentially the guy that you trade up for has to be worth two players or three players, and two players of extreme value. A second-round pick is extremely valuable. He's a starter. You might find your starting middle linebacker in the second round. So I would say stay put, even trade down. That's why that strategy is always better. It mitigates risk just a little bit, and it puts less pressure on that one player, on your evaluation. As good as you might be at evaluating, if you're just a little bit off, it's really risky. So I would say staying put and or trading down is almost always the best bet rather than trading up to go get one guy.
Is there like a group, a handful of guys that you like where the Eagles are at 21 that should be there for their pickings that you sort of like in that area?
Yeah, I mean, even just that, what I would consider that next tier of receivers, I think is still extremely valuable at that point. Whether it's a Jalen Reagor from TCU, I think he'd be a really nice fit for the Eagles as the next DeSean Jackson type in that offense. If they want to go big body guy, you could get T. Higgins from Clemson, maybe a little redundant to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but just an outstanding catch radius and a guy that I think Carson Wentz would mesh well with. I think Denzel Mims from Baylor, another big body guy who just crushed it at the combine in the Senior Bowl. From a receiving standpoint, I think those three guys are good. Mm-hmm. If you do want to squeeze the linebacker need in there, Patrick Queen from LSU is a solid player. He brings a ton of athleticism, to the back seven. We like him a little bit better than Kenneth Murray from mm-hmm. Oklahoma, but I think the value's solid, probably a little bit more solid for a guy like Queen than Murray at that point.
When you look at the linebacker position today, Steve, and I'm a former linebacker myself, but I just don't see defenses being built around that position as much anymore, especially the inside type of guys. Getting the value of the pick there versus taking a skill position guy per se, or maybe even a corner or defensive end, where would you rank the linebacker at value position-wise versus some of those other positions?
No, I think you're right. Teams are not building around linebacker. So it's one of those things where it's like, at defensive tackle, if you can get Aaron Donald, great. He's going to be more valuable than everybody by a mile.
Right.
If you can get Luke Kuechly, if you can get Bobby Wagner, great. They're going to be well worth it. But I do think you're seeing a lot of teams just moving safeties into the box. You have to be a coverage-first player and just reasonable against the run. We see the Baltimore Ravens. I'm calling it positionless football, the way they're playing. Mm-hmm. They have safeties playing linebacker. They have edge defenders playing linebacker. They just have everybody all over the place. They took Earl Thomas, the best free safety in NFL history, maybe, or up there, right? And they made him a box player and a versatile player. So I think having that true old school linebacker is definitely gone, by the wayside just a little bit. So I think cornerback absolutely more valuable. We think corner is more valuable than edge defender as well, or pass rusher in today's NFL. But I think edge defender would be above linebacker, unless, of course, like unless you know you're getting Bobby Wagner or Luke Kuechly, or maybe in this draft, an Isaiah Simmons from Clemson. So I'm all about either waiting on linebacker or getting creative with some safeties coming up to play in the box.
Steve Palazzolo, you can follow him on Twitter. It's PFF underscore Steve, and that's PFF for Pro Football Focus. That's where you can check him out. Steve, it's great stuff. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to put you on the clock right now for the Eagles. The three wide receivers are probably going to be gone if they're sitting at 21. Who would you take for the Eagles at 21? Who do you have them mock taking?
Yeah, I did this. So I just did two mocks in the last week. One of them was T. Higgins, but my most recent one was Jalen Reagor from TCU. So I'll go with Reagor. Incredible acceleration. He could be a downfield threat, has some good ball skills for a smaller receiver. Again, I just think you want to maximize Carson Wentz's ability and value and make him throw the ball down the field more and more, and I think Reagor adds a ton of value in that sense.
Wide receivers who could be there in the second round, give us a couple names that you like.
Well, the intriguing name is Laviska Shenault, who's a first-round talent, but you got to deal with some injury concerns. You know, we have him as a first-round type of player, but he absolutely could be there. Michael Pittman, if you want the big body guy who ran better than expected at the combines, you know, listed about 6'4", only five drops, I think it was last year, so outstanding hands. And again, style's everything, right? So Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State, another guy that's really good after the catch. So stylistically, he adds that. And then Justin Jefferson from LSU, I think he'll go a little bit before that. We have him as more of a second-round player, but boy, is he just so smooth in the slot. Just some question marks about whether or not he could play on the outside, but reminds me of Victor Cruz just a little bit. If you want a middle-of-the-field weapon, which is what he did at LSU, I think Justin Jefferson could be fantastic.
Steve, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, there he is, Steve. You can check him out on Twitter. Does a great job. Very good information, Ike. So he agrees with you. Stay where you are. Get a good wide receiver. And then keep your second-round pick.
Also doesn't think Justin Jefferson's a first-round pick.
So how about that?
Just try to tell everyone.
All right, we'll come back.
So many different opinions on these wide receivers, man.
Seriously.
It just varies. It just does.
So he likes Reagor, it seems like, the best of that second group, T. Mm-hmm. Higgins. He brought up Mims, but he didn't bring him up till the fourth or fifth name.
Mm-hmm.
Pittman's actually a guy that I watched a lot of YouTube this weekend, the wide receivers. Like, Pittman's a guy that I would like.
Second round guys. I'm talking about first round guys.
You better hit on that first rounder, man. 215-592-9494. Mark's
well, believe me, if you won't have a second round pick if you move up to get one of those other guys.
I know, because you'd be moving up to get a star receiver.
Yeah, like Sammy Watkins, who's only been on, what, three teams?
Yeah, he hasn't had a great career. 215-592-94.
He's been okay. He hasn't been a bust.
No, but he hasn't been worth the fourth overall pick.
Well, exactly, when you could have had Mike Evans and Odell Beckham and DeAndre Hopkins.
Amari Cooper wasn't worth the fourth overall, right? I mean, you take a wide receiver.
No.
You take a wide receiver top five, he better be really, really good.
Well, it depends on what is it worth. I mean, when you say worth the fourth overall pick, to me, a receiver doesn't make you a Super Bowl team. So a receiver can't lead you to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
To me, if like Amari Cooper's been a Pro Bowl wide receiver out of his, what, 5 years?
Well, Julio Jones to me is a top five pick. You know what I mean? Like, that's who I look at and say, yeah, he was worth moving up to four. Coming up, good news with Marks and Reese, including another episode, one last episode of the hottest show going, and what are you doing to stay sane out there over the weekend? A lot of people are getting creative, Ike.
Yeah, I bet.
What are you doing out there? I mean, Glenn McDowell's playing the ukulele.
Okay.
Ray Dinninger's playing the saxophone. You're taking up musical instruments.
Listen, I need Ray with a yellow legal pad breaking down the tape. I can't have him on the sax.
Yeah, Ray, we got a draft coming up.
Maybe do that after the draft, Ray.
What are you doing out there? We'd love to talk. 215-592-9494. It's a Monday. It's Marks and Reese. And we're back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.